Welcome to What's On Your Face, a podcast about beauty, pop culture, and all fun things on the internet. I'm Sade.
And I'm MJ.
Welcome.
Hi, Sade.
Hi, MJ. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm just cackling at all of the fun Coachella content, post-weekend one Coachella content.
Because it's in 2 weeks. They split it up. I forget that they do that.
Yeah, well, Frank Ocean and his Dumpster Fire weekend one performance, he just canceled for weekend two.
No.
Yeah.
I've seen a few things about it. And honestly, like, I love Frank Ocean. And I think we've spoken about Frank Ocean before on this show and the fact that he's like, and I think I said it, I was like, I don't know if he actually has what it takes to go like the distance because he has like some type of like social anxiety or whatever because legitimately, like I heard he was just like digging about on stage and like not even on the stage and that like people saw security and the DJ more than they saw Frank Ocean.
Yeah. If I was one of the people who waited 8 hours to be in the front of the queues to be front stage for Frank Ocean, which people were because he hasn't performed in like 6 years or something, yeah. I would have been pissed.
I would be
fucking
furious.
And I heard people were leaving. Like people were leaving, you know, when his act started. So apparently he had this whole production plan with ice skaters who were like rehearsing. And then he injured his ankle like a week before, which is weird because he still had the ice skaters on standby, you know, like there's footage of the ice skaters backstage saying, oh, we're waiting. But, you know, it's not happening. But yeah, like he just totally pulled the plug. But we don't know. Like, was it him? Was it his management? Apparently, it seemed like it was him.
It sounds like it's him. It sounds like it's a he problem.
But he had to cut his set short. But also, I don't know if it had to do with all of the fines that Coachella had to pay with going past curfew.
But so from what I've seen and what I've seen on the Tiki Talkies is that he was late to perform. So that's one thing, which at this point in the game, I don't actually understand how artists are late to their own performance. What else are you doing? That, like, is it that like, are you just taking a really long poo? Are you like eating?
No,
are you like, like who's smoking weed like that anymore? Everyone just takes a little edible and like you're microdosing. Like, why are you so late?
You know why he was late? Because he had changed the production of the stage. So they had to rip off all of the ice skating shit from his stage and reset up for his new concept, which is hiding behind his blue puffer jacket behind the screen so that no one could see him. Like, that's
okay,
why
so
it was
that's
so
why.
Delayed.
Okay, so he's an hour late, and then apparently he sang, like, one or two songs and then did one of them from backstage and then would, like, kind of pop out.
Okay.
And I'm hearing this, like, from this girl who basically went on TikTok and was like, this was what I saw at Coachella.
Yeah, well,
and so he was, like, popping out and saying hi, and then a DJ came out and performed.
No. Okay, so he played, his actual set list was 16 songs, but you know what they do? It's kind of like Rihanna's Super Bowl. They have to mash it up. But he did do a 20-minute, like, rave DJ set that confused everybody, which I secretly love. But it was very disjointed. And at the end, you see this producer talking to him, you know, like the suit saying, you got to stop. And then he just stopped. And the screens turn off. It was very abrupt.
Wow.
I would have been pissed. He's
canceled.
So who do you think is going to replace him for weekend two?
Nobody can replace Frank Ocean.
Giggles.
Who could? Okay, the weekend's Tyler? Already... Tyler, the Creator, would be great. I love Tyler, the Creator.
Me too.
But would he... I mean, him and Frank Ocean are friends. So it's a possibility that he could come and do that. But is he, like, as big as Frank Ocean? He's just not. I'm sorry.
But
I mean,
there
even though
so
I love
much
him.
Hype. Like, but also, we put him on a pedestal. And this is what people were saying as well. It's like, we hyped it up so much that, like, no matter what he was going to do, it would have fallen short. But I was going to say, if he had put on like Beychella, which Beyonce pulled off, no one would have been mad.
Exactly.
Like, that was a production for the ages.
But why is he trying to ice skate? Why is he trying to do a production? You are Frank Ocean. I want vocals and I want like a tortured soul. Like, I want to see that you're like, you're tortured in that you love women, you also love men, but maybe you don't, but like maybe you do.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I want to see all of that emotion. Like all you need to do is come out there on the stage in like a white t-shirt and just sing. And then just like maybe cry a little bit like when you're singing a song. And then that's it. And like that's all we need. We don't need – it's like Adele. Adele is not coming out on stage and bringing no, you know, ice skaters or gymnasts. Adele comes out with a mic, a stand, and a chair because that's all she needs to deliver you hits. 21 was on Billboard for 5 years. And you know why it was? Because she just can sing. Frank Ocean, you sing and you have incredible, a tortured soul. I would be furious if I paid $600 or however much it costs to go to Coachella.
I know.
And then he did that shit. I'd be, because when I look at the lineup, I'm not interested in anybody else that's going there.
That's what I thought. But then Rosalia, who's, I think, is the winner. She's the winner of Coachella because her performance floored me. Like I thought was she is like the queen of performances. I think this year her tour rocked everyone's world. The production, the choreography, like the singing, just everything. And I loved during Coachella, she took off all of her makeup at one point and just was completely barefaced, and she still looked immaculate. And I think she's just the bee's knees at the moment.
So wait, some people might not know who that is. So when I was singing that little ticka 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 ticka, I don't know if you're on TikTok, but there was that whole like maybe from like July to September where like it was like a trending sound where it was like tink ticka 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 ticka.
And you do like the stank face.
And then you make a stank face and you roll your eyes and you're like, ugh.
People should know who she is. And if you don't, you need to.
Some people might not know who that is. I mean, you'd be.
Well, then you shouldn't be listening to this podcast. I'll just say that.
No, don't say that. Because you know what? I have a lot of friends who listen and they're like, I had no idea what any of the stuff you guys are talking about. It's so interesting.
Just kidding. Check out Mojo Mommy. She wears Neon Lee for her performances. She's the shit. What I also like seeing was all of the Justin Bieber footage of Justin having a great time and singing along and
with his wife.
And with his wife, Hailey Bieber. But he was really like, I just think he's really hot and he has that BDE. And I just enjoy Justin content in general. You know me, I'm a Justin stan.
For me, I don't see the BDE personally.
Oh.
I see a tortured soul that is like just a kid that was like forced to sing.
You're watching the conspiracy. No, but when he's in the moment and he's like performing or dancing, I think he's electric.
No, for sure. I think he's a performer. I think he's a singer. I mean, Usher found him in like, I don't know, 2000, whatever. I think he's both of those things, but I think he's just somebody who was kind of pushed into singing and making a lot of money at a very young age, who kind of sometimes walks around like he's like this hard like dude, and he's just not.
True.
And I just, I don't get BDE. I get imposter.
Okay.
I get medium DE.
Okay, so back to BDE. <Medium. laughs> Can we jump to Bad Bunny?
I'm just not interested in any of that with him and the family. Never go against the family. I'm not interested. Okay, Bad Bunny and which one is it? The
Kendall.
Kendall, and then the other one is apparently dating Timothy Chalamet. Like, I'm just like, okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, well, girlfriends aside, I really like Bad Bunny as well.
Yes.
Toby knows Bad Bunny.
Toby's FYI. Aware. Oh, look at that.
He's aware of Bad Bunny. So I enjoy
Toby's
that
coming
content
up in the world.
What other bits of Coachella did you enjoy?
I mainly just saw the stuff about Frank, to be very honest with you. I just wasn't super in. Like, I feel like as soon as they announced the lineup, I looked at like the lineup just to see how I would feel about it. And that's, for me, I try to gauge my FOMO on that. I looked at the lineup intensely, and I even make sure to look at the little names too, because that's where you find some like golden nuggets. And I was just like,
Do you think that's why Rolling Loud is like basically everyone who isn't at Coachella, but goes mostly, to that. Yeah, like Rolling Loud was put on. It was like, fuck this Coachella lineup, mm-hmm. and we're going to make our own party and make more money than your fucking little Coachella lineup.
I saw the lineup for Rolling Loud as well. And I'm on mat leave for like 2 more days, right? So I'm like, I'm just still enjoying my mat leave. And I was like, ooh, like maybe Rolling Loud. And I looked at the lineup and I unfortunately was just like, no. Like, I know who I would get excited for. Cardi B, I love. And I would get excited. I would go for Cardi B if there was like other people I was interested in. Chris Brown. Look, if I'm drunk enough, I will dance to These Hoes Ain't Loyal.
Apparently Chris Brown was amazing. So
I've heard that. But he's also really amazing at beating up people and women in particularly, and black women in particularly. So I'm just not really here for Chris Brown. And again, if I'm drunk enough, I will dance to Loyal. But that is about, I can't do it. And then Travis Scott, he killed them kids at that concert.
Oh my God.
Never forget.
I feel like if they threw in a couple of DJs in there for me, I'd be in
Thailand.
You're just
a DJ, like little, you're like a little DJ junkie. What's happened? You've gone to Melbourne and now you're all like, I'm going to be a DJ, like a set. I feel like I hear you say sets a lot more now. Than before. Then you're a set mom.
Well, no lies told. Okay. Well, Sade, what is on your face?
Oh, on my face. So you guys, we like have like a sheet that we like work off of or whatever, right? So I saw what was on MJ's face and it annoyed me because I tried to go and buy what's on MJ's face and I fucking couldn't because everybody and their mom bought it in like an hour and there's never any goddamn stock. Anyways, I'm not going to get angry about it. So what's on my face is Fenty Skin's lip stain, which is quite similar to another celebrity beauty brand.
Because you couldn't get the rare. Why did Australia get rare like a couple days early?
Australia is just ahead of it for some reason. And it's really kind of irritating me because we're also going to talk about other stuff.
Yeah. Because I went to the online shop and I'm like, oh, all the colors are not out of stock. Like we have everything in stock. And I was like, why is everything still in stock? And then when they launched in Singapore, it was like poof, gone.
Yeah. So I am struggling because there's like no stock. So I'm keeping it black. You know what I mean? Supporting my black queen, Riri. And I'm wearing Rihanna's lip stain, which that has 4 different colors, which I love. Mm-hmm. And then I'm wearing Nude Sticks concealer because you know I'm a concealer girl. Patrick Starr's loose setting powder. Mm-hmm. And then I just got this Kopari body oil in SPF 50.
Oh.
I'm like, I think
I don't know
I'm
if
in
I
love.
Would like that.
I like oils. I like body oils. Like,
but with SPF?
With SPF. It's like a good, like if you like wearing like body oil, it's perfect. And it has SPF. Hmm. And it smells amazing. And it's SPF 50, which I've noticed that, you know, I don't always, when I go outside, I obviously wear SPF on my face and on my neck, but I don't always wear it on my legs. So I notice sometimes I'll get little like discoloration on my legs. So I'm starting to be more conscious of that. So
that's good.
I'm wearing this Kopari body oil SPF 50, which I love. And then a little spritz of the Clean Reserve, which is like super old school in amber saffron.
It is very old school. My first fragrance was the Clean fragrance.
It's still good.
It's so good. And so I had this rollerball and I would bring it to lunch in like the 7th grade and someone else would be like, can I have some? And I'm like, just one roll. And it's I used to be so precious with it.
You know who that Calgon girl, she never shared with you. What is it? By the way, MJ and I both have coughs. I don't know if it's like COVID, but just bear with us a little bit.
Mine is like at the tail end of a cough that I've had for 2 months and it's very annoying.
It's very annoying.
Annoying.
Anyways, yeah, what's on your face?
Hold on, let me cough real quick.
Let's all just have a quick little cough break together.
So I am wearing the Rare Beauty lip oil, which is weird because it is not a lip oil. Like I will say that. And I saw this conspiracy theory where it was like they probably renamed it last minute. It's like a lip tint.
It's a stain.
It's a stain. And the
Fenty's is.
Yeah, exactly. But they're like, oh, let's call them a lip oil because lip oils are going to be really trendy right now, you know, like with the Dior lip oil, the, you know, the Fenty, like, you know, fat oil, stuff like that. So I have it, and the colors are really nice, deeper than you think they are. It's weird because the doe foot is colored. And so it's a tinted, like the actual fuzz of the doe foot is a certain color. And so it looks like it's going to be darker, but then you put it on, it's really beautiful. Like, you don't need a mirror to do it. It's like, you know, foolproof. It's really comfortable. It's not super hydrating, but it's not drying. And then it does leave a really, leave a really nice stain on your lips afterwards, but that you can like revive with a lip balm or like a lip gloss.
Yeah.
And it'll bring the color back. And it's really nice, and I love it. And I have Honesty and something else, like Delight maybe, and they're really pretty and I like them a lot.
I'm jealous. But the Fenty lip stain one is quite similar, and that it goes on glossy and it has that like oily texture, but then it's like it basically a stain and it fades, and then you can retouch it with like a lip balm throughout the day to keep a bit of a color. But I wanted a bit of that little Selena.
Maybe I'll bring you some if it's not packed in stock by
I'm sure they're gonna sort out the stock situation in Singapore. I'm hoping that they do.
Okay, and then I have more, and I'm wearing, or I've been wearing, the Clinique Chubby Stick.
Oh, for fun.
I know. Clinique is right up there with Tarte. I know. Cut. Stay with me. Like, they're good and they
Tarte's better, but anyways, go ahead.
No, the Chubby Stick, but the color. Like, I have one in Figgy and then I have one in something else, but it's like my lips, but better. It's like a nudie rosewood almost. Really good, really easy. I don't need a mirror. And I've also been using a Milk foundation stick that's like a few years old, I'll admit it, but it's still good. I'm going to still use it. And then I've also been using this really old Hourglass Holiday Edition palette.
Go off.
And it's such good payoff. Hourglass, like, just knows their powders, like best powders in the industry, like some of the nicest payoff, beautiful pigment. Like, I think it's just so, so nice. And it has like four different things in one palette. So I can just do my contour, my blush, and a little bit of highlight and set it. It's, five stars.
Oh, it sounds beautiful. I actually love a bit of Hourglass. It's just like a nice, like...
It's very sophisticated.
Luxury. Yeah, yes. It's giving so much luxury. The packaging, everything about Hourglass is just very premium.
It is.
And they know what they're doing, which I appreciate a brand that like is very direct and like knows exactly like and targeted and how they're like making things.
They're sticking to their lane. They're not
exactly.
They're not coming out with like, you know,
cheap shit. They're like, look, we're a fancy bitch.
With
this is where we live.
Name.
Yeah.
Like Hourglass would never name one of their products like in a stupid name. Do you see that TikTok I sent you with the NARS products? And these two girls are spoofing about a NARS lip balm. And she's like, what color do you have? And she was like, raging herpes.
So somebody was actually telling me, I was having a meeting with, I can't remember what brand it was, but they were like saying the name of the mascaras. And I was just like, why are all of these mascaras like, it's all just like, big slut lashes, like, come have sex with me tonight, lashes, if you put that extra coat on. I'm just like, why are all of the names of these mascaras, like, so sexual? And why is NARS blushes, like, super sexual? And then I basically was told that it kind of just started out as a way for them to be a bit tongue-in-cheek in the beginning and just be a bit like...
The tongue is too into the cheek now, babe.
Like, and to just like differentiate themselves and just be like, you know, it's makeup, but it's like so much more. It's like giving you... It's giving all of these like sexual things. And then it just took off. And then you had the Better Than Sex mascara. And then people just kept being like, like sexual innuendos. Like, and now it's... You know,
but I just, you know, when you're in a bar and you get the drinks menu and then every single cocktail has like a stupid ass name and
slippery and nipple like, and
and you're just like, I refuse to say it. And so when you give the order, you're just like, I'll just have the martini.
And you point to it and you're like, this
one. I refuse to say your name and you just send it back to the copywriter and rework it because I'm not fucking saying it.
Because it's like the slut martini that you refuse to say. But I mean, I feel like there's a balance, right? Because then you have like people like Tom Ford who are like, you know, with the cherry and then it becomes a bit like, hey. Let's take it easy.
Tom Ford's been pushing it lately.
He does. But I mean, that bitter peach... She's a bitch that will always good. Give.
But she the next peach give. Is going to be much sluttier, like in its naming convention. I bet. Right?
I'll wear it. I don't care. I'll wear it. I'll Wait, wear all that perfume. Shit.
I have one more thing for what's on my face.
Let's hear it.
And it's a fragrance. It's an Australian brand that you can get at Sephora Australia. And I just got the sampler set because I was bored online and I just decided to order it. And it came. And it's called Goldfield and Banks. And apparently it's like award-winning. I did not do my research. I had no idea. But this one scent called Desert Rosewood. Oh, my Lord. I put it on. But, okay. Here's the thing. I put it on one day when I hadn't showered for a day. I was like a little musky, if you know what I mean.
A little French bath, a little French shower.
Exactly. And I put it on. And then it smelled, it reminded me so much of Tom Ford Black Orchid. And I was like, oh my God, I found a dupe for Tom Ford Black Orchid. It's so nice. And then I went on Fragrantica and people were saying how it was like clean smelling. And I was like, what? And then another day, I showered and after I showered, I put on the same fragrance and it smelled like a totally different fragrance.
So you were just funky and then you were making it smell like very like sandalwoody and shit.
No, but some people on Fragrantica also said this is a dupe for Tom Ford. And I almost replied, but have you showered?
Have you bathed? Have you taken a bath?
But it's amazing how like that difference can just change the fragrance so much. It was amazing.
Oils on you. Of course, because when you don't bathe, it's a layer of oil and dirt on your body and fragrance oil in it.
I smelled bomb.
I mean, if you like it, I love it. That's all I'll say about that.
But finish with what's on my face, but I wanted to talk about another fragrance that I bought in the same order where I did the Goldfield and Blanks sampler.
This is going to annoy me.
Because you can see it on my prep sheet. It's the new Kaoli pistachio scent called Yum. And I was like, oh my God, pistachio. Yes, yes, yes. Kaoli, love their scents. And I love like how they conceptualize their scents because it's nothing, it's unlike anything that's on the market. So for pistachio, I was like, okay, it's going to be super pistachio-y. I put it on. I smelled like a home candle for 30 minutes. Like love. I smelled like a Bath & Beyond like sweet candle. You know? And even Toby was like, did you burn a candle? And then I said no. But then 30 minutes later, it dried down and it was the most delicious, like whipped cream, warm, like a hint of pistachio, but like really interesting.
I'm annoyed.
I loved it.
I would also love to get it, but all of the things that are not available to me in Singapore, I have no idea what's going on. And I'm on mat leave and I'm like, is it weird if I message people that I work with to be like, the fuck? I'm trying to get this. Like, where is it? I see it. My friend's just gotten it. And I don't want to like seem, I don't want to be that employee. You know what I mean? Like that employee that's like, my Benefit brow shade, I can't find it. Like, I didn't want to do that. But I was genuinely like, hey, so Australia's launched this. Like, I'm super keen.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm like, I'm dying over here.
We'll find a way. I want to get it.
Like, I want to smell it. I don't know how else to smell it.
I know you'll like it because you like sweet scents, but
I love
you like
sweet scents.
Candy sweet scents. This is more of like a, you know, creamy, dessert-y sweet scent. So I think you'll like it. But I smelled something else the other day because I'm on this like sweet scent kick, as you know. And, It's the new Miu Miu Fleur de Lay. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but the advertisement is like this is the Miu Miu bottle cut because it's a cake and there's this like oozy thing that flows out. But that smells bomb.
I saw that pop up.
It smells like Gita, like whatever our girlfriend wears. Like she wears the really fancy perfume De Marly, whatever one that's like $500. This is a
of course it is.
It's a dupe.
It's a dupe.
It's a dupe. Just like how Ariana Grande is a dupe for Baccarat Rouge. This is a good dupe to check out. Yeah.
I want to smell all these things. I love sweet smelling things and I don't get an opportunity to get it so much. But I feel like I see the last two things on here, which one of them I put and then the other one is Sol de Janeiro, which I'm silently obsessed with that brand. Which they have full fragrances as well.
Yes. And one of them, the pink one, apparently is a dupe for Baccarat Rouge and Ariana Grande Cloud, but just in a body spray format. But I'm sure that lasts for all of like, what, 5 seconds? But it's like $20 or like $30.
I'm not fucking with body sprays. I'm not 15.
I want a body spray because it's like Hot Cheeto Girl. Like, I want to be chewing the gum with the hoop earrings and the body spray.
I know that that's your spirit animal, but I want a perfume. I want – I feel like they have perfumes. I feel like I've seen Jackie Aina's page, and I feel like I've seen actual perfumes. And maybe it is – I don't know. Actually, I need to look into that. I feel like they have perfumes, though, for Sol de Janeiro.
Okay.
I've been silently buying Sol de Janeiro shit off of Amazon. I have a complicated relationship with Sol de Janeiro. I do love them as a brand, though. So I am very excited at the fact that we're going to be having them. Well, Australia won't because they're with Mecca, but we'll be having them because they like presented at Press Day. So they'll be coming to Singapore soon. Love the brand. Love the fragrances. Their body wash, I don't care. I mean, I know it's body wash and I know it's silly. I spend $80, including shipping, to get 1,000 mils of their body wash sent to my house by Amazon.
But I wonder, like, I wonder if that fragrance profile is going to do well in
Southeast
Singapore.
Asia.
Yeah.
And that's been a debate that people talk about because the scent profile is very citrusy and not as sweet. A lot of people, like, the Kayali stuff will come in and, like, the girls who, like, look at fragrance are like, oh, this is, like, not for me. And I'm like, I love it. But I do think that there is that consumer out there that wants to smell sweet. Yeah. It's just not as big in Southeast Asia or in Singapore, like, particularly.
Most people want to smell like flesh, fresh and flowery, you know?
I want to smell like a
stripper. Well, I won't say, I can't say it on the pod what our friend Gita says, but she just wants to smell like a blank teenager. Anyway, shall we get into beauty news?
Yes, a bit of beauty news. Beauty news. So I think the biggest piece of juicy, juicy information that we've just recently seen is the ASAP acquisition by L'Oreal. ASAP.
It's because you're thinking of ASAP.
I'm thinking of Rihanna. And I'm thinking of Rihanna's plus one. Let's never forget, he will always be her plus one. Okay.
Well, now it's like plus three, but.
Well, no, the children. He's just, I'm telling you, when Kevin Federline's her, anyways, I don't want to get into it. ASAP acquisition by L'Oreal. So this is quite big because basically L'Oreal bought them for $2.5 billion. ASAP has been like a silent luxury brand that launched in the late 1980s and got its first store in Melbourne. Did you know that was out of Melbourne?
Yeah,
did you know that?
Dude, they are like in Australia, we are in a post ASAP world. Like people have been like, at one point in time, everyone's home, like if you're trying to be bougie, had an Aesop hand wash in it. And like now it's finally late. Like that was the start. And now we're like two steps ahead of that. But Aesop is still a huge player here and they have so much potential. Like I get why L'Oreal bought them. Because it's like,
for sure,
they have longevity. Like they can be in the cycle, you know, they can dip out of the cycle, but they'll still be a big player and they'll come in the cycle again and be like trendy as hell.
People want that soap in their bathroom. They want that little tube of lotion in their bag.
Yeah.
It's a silent luxury brand. And I feel like they have kind of had a unique marketing strategy, which is basically not having one. They don't do, you know, a lot of promos. They're not like, here we are, we're Aesop, blah, 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 blah. You kind of saw something similar to this with Augustina's Butter, and that their marketing was just no marketing. It was just like, oh yeah, you knew about it when you went into my bathroom. You knew about it when, you know, you asked me, your hands were dry in the winter and you were like, I need a lotion, and someone pulled it out and you're like, ooh, what's this? It smells amazing, da, 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 da. And then, you know, that person shows it to you and then you find the store and you're like, holy shit, they're spending $43 for a hand lotion.
And then you go in the store and you're like, wow, has this store been designed by Tadao Ando? It's fucking beautiful. They get the best architects and design firms to do each store individually.
Yep.
Amazing.
What I saw was that they basically designed the store around, like, it's designed within the space. It's not like a cookie cutter situation where all the stores look the same. They all are going to look different depending on where the store is in that mall or on that street. So it's all like very curated in its design. And it really uses the space, the lighting, everything in it to just make that store. Like, so when you look at the Aesop in Nian City, it's dark as shit in there, but it's a vibe, right? Like, and it's just, and it gives you, it is dark, but it, you know, you kind of go in and everybody's just like, hi, like what's, they're attentive. They're giving you service. They're, you know, they're not necessarily like Mac where they're like, hi, like get out of here. We don't like you. But they're like, yeah, like if you're interested, you know, look around and like they're super, they match
the
vibes of
the
store.
They're
They've drank the Kool-Aid 100%, which I love. I love a brand that fully drinks its own Kool-Aid.
Like, but also they brought in, you know, over 500 million in sales in 1 year. Like
they've done really well. I mean, and when you've seen, you know, in our last episode, we were talking about the fact that like the resurgence of beauty and the fact that everybody's making money, that also includes Aesop, you know, so they've definitely done a great job at like,
and they have more money to make.
No marketing. Exactly. They don't discount. They aren't loud. They're just super chill. Not to mention they're clean and they're organic, but they're not like, we're clean. We're organic.
No,
like,
they don't even have to say it.
They don't have to say it. They use different terminologies to like describe their, you know, ingredient curation, which I think is phenomenal. But they're like, yeah, there's just this small luxury brand that has just kind of been sitting there the whole time. So again, huge, huge buy from L'Oreal. But I guess L'Oreal's been wanting to expand their clean luxury portfolio for a while. This is the best way to do it. They recently just bought Youth to the People. So I'm wondering if they're, and Youth to the People, it's obviously not exactly the same, but when you look at the skincare that Aesop does have, it's somewhat similar vibes and glass jars, glass bottle, like, you know, that whole aesthetic. But Youth to the People is a bit more inclusive and they have more colors. And I do find like there's a few similarities there. So they've bought Youth to the People and then they've bought Aesop. And so now we'll see, you know, I do look at this acquisition for Aesop as a way for them to get into China without doing it themselves.
No, I mean, they've dipped their toe into China. Like, I think they have two stores in Shanghai, but they haven't like fully entered and tapped into the Chinese market yet. No, like,
so this is a way to do it. I think this is a great way to do it. L'Oreal will be that vehicle for them because L'Oreal, obviously, with Lancôme, I mean, I feel like whenever I think of China, I think of Lancôme.
Yes, but
they're just everywhere, right? So this is the way to do it.
I'm also curious to see if they will reformulate because I know for a fact that Aesop uses a lot of natural Australian ingredients. I've smelt like the scent supplier that they use. I know they're like very Australian. They're like down the road from Melbourne. And, you know, can they give the quantity that is needed to, you know, take Aesop to where L'Oreal wants it to go?
That's always the question that everybody asks whenever you see these major acquisitions. It was the question that was asked with Drunk Elephant and Shiseido. It was the question that was asked, again, with Youth to the People, brands like Kiehl's. So you always ask those questions of, can they do it the right way? I think we've seen some brands, you know, they've been acquired and it hasn't worked out. Like Becca, for example, which, you know, you know, RIP. So, I mean, it does happen where brands get bought and it doesn't go well. But I feel like Aesop could possibly, you know, last longer. Worst case scenario, they don't work out. They end up being in fucking Marshalls and TJ Maxx everywhere. And then it just because like, that's the worst case scenario, right? And because at the end of the day, I've said it before, you buy somebody for $2.5 billion, someone's got to get out there and shake them titties to make that money back. who's gonna dance? Do you know what I mean? Drunk Elephant got bought. They were in airports like that. You hear my fingers? Like that. They were in, I was walking, bro, like, oh, Drunk Elephant is in travel retail. True. $855 million. Somebody's got to make that money back.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with Aesop. I hope it goes well for them. I hope that they can go to China, make it big. Whenever India can just really like pump up. I was just reading that India surpassed China for population. So I feel like India is going to be the next thing outside of China where people are going to be trying to break into it in a big way. maybe that's where ASAP goes.
I feel like India would need like a cultural revolution or something before.
Oh, with the way that things are going. It's another conversation, but I mean, look, we all have a cough right now. And sometimes when I feel like everybody has the same cough, I'm like, is this where it starts? Is this where something weird happens? Anyways. So that's that bit of beauty news. And then the last piece is more like gossip slash like, I found it interesting. And the question is Huda Mean? Like, I don't know if anybody saw Huda on beauty? TikTok. Huda Beauty. So
what's her full name? Huda Khatun.
Huda Khatun. So basically there was a content creator who made a video of her. So you on TikTok, you have all of these people who are doing all of these different hacks. So you have people like Meredith Duxbury, who did the like 12 pump foundation thing. This girl basically was using color corrector all over her face. Like her face was basically like green and orange and blue and like all over.
It looked like a paint by numbers. Like,
yes, it looked like a paint by numbers on her face. And so she made this video and she's like, this is my hack for my skin, da 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 da. So again, this is all going down on TikTok, right? So then she makes this video, puts it out there. Then she gets a message, a DM on her Instagram from the Huda team being like, hey, we love, like, and she showed the screenshot. We loved your video. Oh, we would love to do something. Like we'd love for Huda to do something with it. So she says, oh my gosh, yes. So as a beauty creator, I'm sure she's thinking, bitch, this is it. I'm about to be on everybody's PR list. Yeah, I'm making these coins, right? Because Meredith Duxbury, that's literally how that happened for her. And I'm sure people are sending her foundation left, right, and center to use it in her for her makeup. Mm-hmm. What ends up happening is Huda makes a video where she's like, oh my gosh, that's way too much. She's doing it all wrong. And just kind of, it's not like, I don't know how I feel about what she said. Do I think that she was just being honest? Yes. But I think that anyway. So I'll get to that in a second. So basically, she makes this video. Then this girl who made the original video says, basically comes out and says, "Hey, like if you tell me that you quote unquote love my video, like be honest with me before I give you the rights to use my video with Huda." Like she just basically made fun of me instead of like, I don't like,
no, that's shitty.
I feel she felt like they lied to her and misled her in, using her video. So actually a few people have come out and spoken about it. One in particular being Sal, who is
the Farsali guy
from Farsali, who's actually built up his quite a strong social media presence for himself, not even selling products, but just talking about beauty.
Yeah.
And he basically was like, that was mean. Like she shouldn't have done that. Like, and he, the point that he also brought up was like, when you get to a certain level in your career, are there things that you can and cannot say because it can come off as mean? Like if she was maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a beauty founder that's a bit smaller. Maybe Youthphoria, which is like a small pH. You're familiar with Fiona, right? Mm-hmm. Like if she were to do that, no harm, no foul, because she's a small beauty brand owner. She's up and coming. It's
and Huda
not,
has a following too.
Yeah, she's Huda a has a founder. Huge following. She's not only not even an influencer, but she's kind of like a beauty influencer as well as a mega brand owner.
But it's weird because most of Huda's content is quite positive, where she's like egging people on to like keep trying new things. And it's like, yeah, like if that works for you, go. So it's kind of weird that she threw this.
She did that, And she had
a bad day.
Yeah. And then she tried to make a video to apologize and then that didn't go well. And then she ended up having to take the video down because then people were like coming for her. And I'm like it's a tough situation. I feel like you have to be so careful like these days with how you put stuff out there on social media. Cause some people are like, all comments, make the algorithm good and get you more followers and da 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 da. But yikes, like, I don't feel like she meant for that to happen. But then also her team, she needs to then talk to her team and be like, why are you telling her that I loved her video? Like, it's, I don't know. It's just, I found it to be like an interesting little piece of, of TikTok beauty gossip, especially because Huda made a video to apologize and Saul made a video about it. And then Huda ended up taking down her apology video because it just went that poorly when she tried to put it up.
You gotta be careful. Landmines out there.
It's lots of landmines, man. Anywho, let's move on to things we're obsessed with.
Should I go first or do you want to go first?
You go first. What are you obsessed with, MJ?
Things we're obsessed with.
Mine is a non-beauty item, and I've been consuming a lot of kefir yogurt thanks to my friend.
What is that? Explain it to me.
So kefir yogurt, it's like a probiotic live yogurt. I call it like a fizzy yogurt. If you combine like a kombucha and Yakult and had it the consistency of yogurt, not Greek yogurt. Like it's not thick. It's more like a smoothie. And it's really delicious. And I have it before or after meals. And it's really good for your tummy. I was trying to get rid of this cough. And I took some antibiotics. And then I'm like, oh, crap, I'm killing all of my gut flora. And then I felt bad. And I took a bunch of kefir yogurt in hopes that it would help. It's yummy and it's good for your tummy. That's all.
Huh. When you describe kombucha and Yakult together, it's no.
No, try it. Try it. My friend Clayton, who is like a health guru, hi Clayton and Hubab, they introduced it to me.
When you were in Singapore last?
When I was in Singapore last, and they called it kefir, but I think it's called kefir. Not that it matters.
I've heard it as kefir. Like kefir lime?
Kind of, maybe. Who knows? If someone can tell us, please tell us. But it's so good. You have to try it.
We'll see. I'm probably going to need antibiotics because I know I sound like shit.
This is just not fixed.
I need to get this fixed, especially because I go back to work next week. It's not ideal. So what I'm obsessed with is that I just bought myself AirPod Maxes.
Can you rate them?
I love them. I'm like, you know, my husband has the noise canceling buds and he always has them in and it irritates me.
Like
he's talking to me. And then sometimes he'll have to or he'll just walk around the house and the kids are crying. They're like, "Papa, daddy, daddy." And he's just like, doo, 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 doo.
I would go up to him and rip those buds out of his ears and throw them out the window.
It's okay. I don't throw him out the window, but I'm like, you're so annoying. He's like, what? I was just listening to my podcast. I was like, if you're lonely, just say that. And that's why you're always listening to these podcasts with just having a chat.
He's listening to them so that he can mansplain things to you.
Exactly.
And like me probably afterwards. Yep.
He mansplains to both of us. Yeah,
but
that's why
we're like, Jeff, can you mansplain this to us?
He does. He happily mansplains. I do appreciate a good mansplaining. But that's just for my husband, not from any other men. So they can all anyways. But so I got them and it's like I completely understand the vibes the vibes of noise canceling. I've never had noise canceling earphones. I've never had them before.
Oh, honey.
So I'm just like, oh my gosh. And when you hit the button and then it almost feels like it's
have you been
like
living under a rock? Like you never tried the Bose ones. You didn't try the other AirPods. Wow.
And I was going to buy the Bose ones. Those were the ones that I was going to buy. And then I was like, but I have Apple product. Why don't I just go and try these? And I bought blue ones and then I took them home and I hated them. And then I was like, I hate this color. And then I took them back to the store and then I got green ones and I loved them. I'm a new woman and now I walk around the house and I feel like a dad and I'm just like going about my business, not listening to my 4-month-old that's been like crying for 2 minutes. And I'm just like, oh, why does your face look all red? Oh, you're upset.
I will say the sound is superior, but as a glasses wearer, like I wear glasses, I do find they're a bit tight, but I do have a really spherical head. And I find them to be tight on my glasses, but I can wear them for like 30-minute periods and they're ace.
My goal is to wear them when I'm on calls when I go back to work. That was my rationale for getting it. But to be honest, I just wanted them. I'm going to blame it on work.
Done.
Anywho, this was a fun little episode, MJ. This was great. thank you all for listening. If you like what you're hearing, follow us on TikTok and Instagram at whatsonyourface_. And you can find us on Apple and Spotify.
Thanks, Jajay.
Thanks, MJ. Bye.
Bye.